The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. We are coming to you from the South African Property Owners Convention at Sun City, where the who's who of the country's commercial property sector are gathering for SOPOA's flagship annual event. The Property Pod this week has a few guests with the speakers from the SOPOA convention featured. But to kick it off, we have SOPOA CEO Neil Gopal. Welcome to the Property Pod, Neil. We haven't spoken for quite a while.
Thank you, Sunet. Thank you for the opportunity.
How's the SOPOA convention this year? There seemed to be a palpable optimism of sorts around SA, the GNU, lower interest rates coming. That seemed to be the sentiment on the first day. Comment on that and property participation in the conference.
Thank you, Sunet. Yes, certainly there's a lot more positive sentiment. Certainly not only at the conference, but this has been an ongoing positive optimism probably months prior to this conference. I would say starting even last year. I think what has led to that is the fact that we had a fairly smooth election. The Government of National Unity, of course, there's still a lot of work to be done at that level. And possibility of interest rates coming down, given what is happening not only just locally, but also worldwide.
Neil, talking about optimism, I've seen the listed property sector being up 24%, believe it or not, for the year to date until the end of August. August seemed to be a really, really good month. There are expectations around the interest rates coming down. But that doesn't mean everything is still rosy. What are some of the issues being discussed at the SOPOA convention this year?
I think let's start off with the positive. 150 days of uninterrupted electricity supply. That has been a fairly positive positive sentiment around that particular matter. Some of the negatives, I think the concern does still lie with the municipalities and the dysfunctionality and financial status of many of the municipalities, particularly taking into consideration that most of our members' portfolios are within a local authority's jurisdiction. And if the situation continues to play out, particularly with those municipalities that are in coalition, where we can see there's a revolving door of mayors, votes of no confidence, this is where the rubber really hits the road for our members. So those are, I think that could be one of the biggest concerns that the members do have. And property industry in general is the state of our municipalities.
That seems to be a perennial issue, but there is optimism that things could get better under the GNU. But I see there are some other issues. The new issue, load shedding, seems to be toning down quite a bit, but water seems to be the big issue. Any comments on that?
Yes, and we undertook quite an extensive piece of research around the state of South Africa's water and water infrastructure. It's a fairly thick report, which every delegate at this conference has received a copy of. And essentially, the idea around that piece of research was to study not only at a national level the state of South Africa's infrastructure, but also in the top 15 municipalities. And again, I bring it back down to the fact that the rubber really hits the road once again at municipal level. So we will have that panel discussion and debate this afternoon. Some of the questions we have to ask ourselves and hopefully do get answers to at this panel is, how does the state of water affect a property portfolio? How did we end up in this crisis? What are the causes and issues and the risks in the water sector? We're also offering a few solutions, mitigation measures, new technological improvements, and where the private sector can intervene. We've got a couple of case studies. And we've also studied situations similar worldwide to give the data gets some understanding of what is happening globally around a water crisis.
Just to end off on a softer question, as it were, the CEPOA convention has been in Sun City for a few years, but are you looking at taking it and rotating it back between the other cities in the future? And perhaps you just want to share about the success of this year's event. It seems more participation and support even from the sector, from some of the big sector evaluates in terms of backing the event.
Thank you, Sunit. So to answer the first question, are we going to rotate? We have signed a five-year deal with Sun City. We do run surveys with the industry as to the choice of venues that they prefer. Sun City seems to come up as the number one preference for most members, firstly. Secondly, 90% of the members are also driving in and out of Johannesburg and Joburg base, so it's quite easy and quick to get here. And in doing so, we've also saved a large bulk of the delegates, the airfare, to travel to other cities. And there's very few convention centers that can accommodate anywhere between 900 to 1,000 people. So it works. It's functional. We have a contract up to 2026, which is then our 60th anniversary. So we're looking forward to coming back to Sun City next year. And then, of course, for the big event, our 60th anniversary, which will be in 2026.
And then on the sponsorship side?
Yes, I mean, our sponsors are fantastic. Our members support us through thick and thin. And it's not just a conference. It's Fortress, Growthpoint, Perito, Resilient, and Vukile at this conference. But the CEPOA membership supports us in many other ways. They support us through the bursary fund. We've spent close to somewhere between 40 or 50 million on 160 students at various universities on a four-year BSc degree. And that is all sponsored by the membership. We have sponsorship of our education courses, our events nationally around the country. So without the sponsors, and our members, we wouldn't be able to do all of this important work that we do on behalf of the industry.
Neil, I really appreciate your time, taking time outside the conference, or rather on the sidelines of the conference. Everybody wants to chat to Neil as the CEO of the SA Property Owners Association. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sunit.
We are on to our second guest at the CEPOA conference, multiple guests on the Property Pod this week. Joining me now is Palisa Pili, the CEO of the Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry, who was one of the speakers on the panel at the CEPOA convention. Just to share some insight on what the discussion was about, it was really about municipal service delivery, and we just thought we'd get Palisa on the pod to share some of her points on that panel session. Palisa, welcome to the Property Pod.
Thank you, Suren, and thank you for inviting me. Hello to you and hello to your listeners at home.
Durban and Itikweni has gone through a lot over the last few years, but the Chamber has been vocal about a lot of issues, including service delivery, water issues more recently, beachfront and tourism and safety issues, but also commenting around issues around the port to get the Durban port working more efficiently. What did you speak about on that panel?
So at the CEPOA convention panel, my focus was really talking about the state of municipalities. And the special focus, as I think you saw, is there was somebody from Cape Town, and then we also had the mayor of Tshwane, talking about Tshwane, and then I was talking about the state of Itikweni municipality in terms of how we view it as the business community.
And what were some of the issues? Because there has been a lot that's happened in Itikweni over recent months, even post the elections, but some of those changes link back to President Ramaphosa being called in by the chamber and other players in KwaZulu-Natal to address some of the issues facing the municipality and ultimately businesses and residents.
So as a business community of Itikweni, I mean, we're very clear. We're not going to let our municipality go down. So we're prepared to actually roll up our sleeves and work with the city. And that's been a constant discussion that we've been having with city leadership, even the previous administration. So what happened is earlier this year, like you mentioned, we invited President Cyril Ramaphosa. And we were really at a point of serious frustration because about a year and a half before we met with the president, the city was supposed to be put under administration, and unfortunately the previous provincial administration didn't go ahead and do that. So when we met with the president, we really were in a very frustrated situation where nothing was happening. So, I mean, there was no accountability, no consequence management. People were doing as they pleased. The amount of corruption, level of corruption just went up the roof. Coming back to the property development side, I mean, there are very unfriendly policies that they have introduced that has really chasing away our possible investors into the city, such as the vacant land rates issue, which we had been talking with the city for the last 2 years, and nothing has been done about it. But in addition to that, of course, there was four areas that we spoke to the president about. First one was the water sanitation and distribution of electricity infrastructure, where we were saying as a business community, we want to partner with government because government was clear that they don't have money. We said, we've got upfront capital. How can we have, you know, financial models, not like the old PPP that takes 10 years, but quick financial models that will ensure that when we put our money upfront, we'll be able to get, the money in. The second issue was that of safety and security. It was just before the elections. You can imagine coming out of 2021 July, we still very much, in a state of anxiety when it comes to possible unrest coming into our province. So we were very concerned what would happen during the election time and post-election. So we needed to get the president's support to ensure that there's multiple support that he will send down to the province of KZN to ensure that our province is safe. The third one is business confidence. Business confidence talks to the issue of corruption. It talks to the issue of the fact that, you know, we've been having, like I mentioned, that we've been having multiple discussions prior to meeting with the president, with the administrative leadership, who unfortunately, the response is always in a defensive mode where they don't acknowledge the problem, which is actually the beginning of the whole issue. If you don't acknowledge the problem that, you know, your stakeholders, especially business, are saying, this is a problem we have and this is why we can't invest. Instead of coming back and being defensive, it's important to look at various solutions. So we wanted the president, you know, to make sure that we've got right structures to intervene in those kind of situations. And then the last and final one is that of the tourism. You know, how do we revitalize tourism, especially after, you know, the bad publicity we've been having with the sewer in the beaches and stuff. So we really need to get our tourism booming and back again. Coming back to the second intervention, so that was the first intervention that was done. So we were very fortunate that post the elections, immediately, you know, after the government of provincial unity was established, the MEC for Kohta put the city on Section 154 administration, which unfortunately is just an advisory at this moment in time. We have been advising the city to say to them, it's very important for you that you have got this opportunity to be advised to change and look at things in a different way. Unfortunately, if they choose not to do that, you know, government could end up putting them under Section 139. But we're hoping that the city will adhere and be able to listen to the advice that they're getting from the administrators and not find themselves in a situation of Section 139.
Thanks for that. It seems we can have a much longer conversation. But how are things currently with the government of provincial unity? There's a new mayor at Itakwini. In addition, that links in with the national government of unity. Are things going relatively well? Where are they sitting at the moment from the chamber's perspective?
To be honest, we're actually the only province that has got the government of provincial unity. And so far, so good. I mean, we're very, very pleased. We've had engagements with the, you know, premier as well as his MECs, as well as our mayor, of course. And the exciting part is normally when we engage with all the leadership, you're talking about the MECs. For example, let me give you an example. We had an engagement about 2 weeks ago. We had the MEC for Etia, who is IFP. We had the MEC for Finance, who is DA. And then we had the mayor, who is ANC. So you could see that all of them were actually looking at, pushing to get things right for us to be heard. So we're quite excited with what we're seeing right now. In fact, the new mayor, was to now, from a property point of view, is a discussion I was having with the SAPOA guys to say the mayor wants to meet with us next week, where he wants to delve down into what are the issues that property developers are experiencing, and which departments are we finding the bottlenecks, and we must give him the example so that he can be able to deal with these issues accordingly. So we're really looking forward to that. I mean, we love the fact that we're seeing people working, and hopefully people will be held accountable. And those officials that don't want to do their jobs, hopefully we will see the back of them very soon.
Melissa, we'll have to leave it there. It's a shorter, sharper pod with multiple guests. I was going to ask about property development in KZN, but we'll keep that for another pod in the future. And we'll also catch up possibly on maybe a year down the line or 6 months down the line to see how things are progressing in KwaZulu-Natal and US CEO of the Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
In our final segment on the SAPOA convention, we have the newly appointed president of SAPOA. That's Itumeleng Motsebele. Itumeleng, as I said, is the incoming president, but he is also the managing director of Vukile Property Fund in Southern Africa. Itumeleng is just going to share some insights on his incoming term as the SAPOA president and his priority areas. Itumeleng, a very warm welcome to the Property Pod. We've had you before, but the first time since being appointed SAPOA president, who voted SAPOA president.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me, Shireen. It's lovely to be here. Always great to be part of the production. And really looking forward to speaking to you about what we'll be thinking about over the next 12 months, key priorities, focus areas. And I suppose, with all these possible tailwinds that are now, evident in the macroeconomy as well as the industry, a lot of people are talking about, can we sustain it? And I think a lot of the priorities that we put in place are, to perhaps ensure that it's not just a short-term gain, it's something that can drive longevity. Issues around making sure that we make a dent in the permanent space. So we're doing quite a lot in terms of education and mentorship, and I'll take you through some of the ideas that we're doing there. And I think, in the spirit of the GNU and working together, public sector, private sector, almost, the old school triple P approach, to me, I think what's going to be very important for the sector looking forward into the next 12 months is definitely this issue of advocacy and lobbying. Working closely with government, to make sure that issues such as, the rapid rollout of PV, batteries, water use licenses, etc., all of that happens seamlessly to enable business to thrive. And also understand government, priorities that the private sector can also assist in. Because ultimately, if we are to grow the economy, we really need to focus on some of these GNU imperatives. And one of them is really driving employment, driving growth, and if we can get that right, I think the country will be in a very good trajectory.
Thanks for that, Itumeleng. When I reported on the first day of the SAPOA convention, I started off saying it was very palpable, the optimism in the conference this year. Do you want to share a little bit more about that expectations? Where is the optimism coming from? We have heard about it, but a little bit from your side around the different tailwinds that are likely to be positives for the property sector going forward.
Thank you, Asrin. I'm very optimistic, very bullish. I think, we see a number of tailwinds that are coming together very nicely for this industry to really perhaps bring us to an area that we haven't been in probably the past decade. So I think from a macro dynamic, the whole story around the interest rates is positive. Potentially at the end of September, we'll start seeing, the first drop. Inflation is seemingly under control. The latest print is at a comfortable 4.6, which is the best that we've had in 3 years. So, I think that's also positive from a macro perspective. And in a lot of the discussions that we've had at this conference, a lot of the consensus around GDP growth has now moved from the 0 to the 1% and now moved up to 2 to 3%, which is the area that we need to start seeing, real job absorption in the country. So I think the macro dynamic is positive. I think we're also all excited by, you know, the short-term positive impacts of the two-pot system in terms of just making sure that the increasing health of the consumer is strong and sustained. So I think the reforms around, you know, the pension, the pensions and the two-pot system is positive. And that's something that that also adds to the tailwinds. And then the GNU, you know, to me, you know, GNU is really looking to build an inclusive economy. We're aiming to, you know, generate sustainable growth, create jobs and eradicate poverty, which is brilliant. In terms of what we're seeing from, you know, coming through from what's happened in the GNU, positive signs around SOEs, which is encouraging, over 150 days of no load shedding. And in fact, Dan Marugano was just saying that a very competent CEO was saying that he's looking forward to a good summer. So that's also positive. Great positives that are happening around Operation Vulindlela. So to me, I think if you combine all of those things and also the sub-sector of the interaction of business and the public sector, you know, the stuff that's happening at BUSA, at BPO-SA, the wonderful work that Neil is doing at SAPOA, you're starting to see some positive, you know, sentiment and tailwinds. And I guess the question is, you know, the jury's out, is can we sustain this? My sense is, you know, we have to sustain it. It's not something that as the private sector, we now need to sit and say, look, government, you need to deliver on it. We need to meet government halfway. We need to work jointly together because, you know, all of these priorities filter through to benefits for our shareholders, our stakeholders, our communities, which then ultimately benefits the entire country. You know, so really, really optimistic and upbeat around where we are as a country at the moment.
Finally, off that optimism, a little bit of a cheeky comment. There was questions around cranes in skies, skylines across South Africa. The president and the new infrastructure minister are also talking about you know, seeing cranes all over South Africa. Just a final comment on that. When can we see a lot more cranes in South Africa's major cities and possibly in rural areas as well, considering Vukile being an investor in rural property?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the optimism is great. We're moving in the right direction, but the reality is there's a bit of a lag between when all of these, you know, low inflation, high GDP, low interest rates start really coming through into the built environment. I expect, you know, particularly in the space that we operate in, I don't necessarily see that there'll be widespread, you know, new mall developments. I do, however, from a return perspective, see, you know, coming out of the high building cost environment, yields starting to tighten to make sense that developments can happen, particularly in rural areas. So I think, you know, those smaller 12,000 square shopping centers in areas where you service in the communities that don't need to take the big taxi fare, you know, paying 50 Rand, which is in line with their basket spend to get to a mall, I see, you know, a lot of those developments happening. And I think in the township space, you know, I think there's some pods of potential growth in that area. And I think you'll probably see some cranes happening there. Not very bullish around offices anywhere in the country at the moment. I think we've still got a bit of an oversupply. But I definitely think you'll probably find the industrial sector also, you know, a bit vibrant. So all in all, I think, you know, from where we're sitting at this point in time, really, like I said, probably the best tailwinds we've seen in about a decade. The environment has been tough. But I think also testament to the professionalism, the skill, the strength of our practitioners in the property space. You know, a lot of the businesses have been resilient through a very difficult time. So I think, you know, if someone speaks about leadership and how South Africans can navigate through tough times, you know, we're in perfect case study in this industry. But I think now it's time for us to have a bit of a break, you know, to start seeing some growth, some tailwinds, and the sector really starting to fly. It's a big employer. It's a big contributor to our GDP. Success in the sector will be good for, you know, broader social dynamics. And I think if we can get that right, we've always known that we've got a huge kind of demographic dividend in South Africa. I think now we can start bringing that into the fore and really benefiting it in terms of overall GDP growth.
Tumaleng, fantastic there. He's one of the youngest real estate managing directors in the real estate space. Thank you so much for your time and all the best for your term. That was Tumaleng Motibeli, the new SAPOA president.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.